Song of Solomon.
Yeah, it's wonderfully true that the Lord was speaking and revealing to Helen. It's a glorious thing that God does do there, that he takes us as his tender plants, and he does protect us, and he does shield us, and he does water us by hand, and he raises up altogether a wonderful thing. But as you read through the Song of Solomon, which you know is the master song of love in the Old Testament, you find that there is another side to this. Let us, for instance, look in chapter 1, verse 15, where he says to his bride, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes." Wonderful. And as you begin the second chapter, you find him saying, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. And then he says, not as a plant in a pot behind a window that I am tending, but as the lily among thorns, right out there, so is my love among the daughters. That's how a person who is Jesus' love is. Right out there amongst the thorns. Incomparable. we put a flower up on him. Well, I shifted it because the gas is killing it. The leaves started to fall off this morning, sister. We set it there and everybody looks at it, and it's a marvellous thing. But Jesus says, now look, I want you to know that I'm not setting you up as one plant alone to be admired. I want to put you out there among everybody else. I want to see that there's nobody to touch you. There's nothing like you in all the world. I'll set you amongst everybody else. And you're just like a lily among thorns. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the wonderful thing is that all the thorns can't choke the lily. You would think so, wouldn't you? Wouldn't find a lily among thorns. But there it is, all among the thorns. Mind you, there's an artfulness about the Lord in that if he puts a lily among thorns, nobody's going to pick it. It's his own. Nobody's going to get there. No, too much. The Lord's saying, I've guarded you round. I'm keeping you. Nobody's going to pluck you. You're mine. Utterly mine. You see, and there is this other side of the whole thing. If you turn on in chapter 5, for instance, where the bride is speaking, she says, I sleep in verse 2, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I put off my coat, she says. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself, was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him. I couldn't find him. I called him. But he gave me no answer. There she is, in her lovely room. And what Jesus is really wanting is this. He says, verse 2 of chapter 6, my beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices. Not just to the few spices that she had on her, some myrrh and some nice things, gone down to the beds of spices. He wants a lot more than she's got. Got a lot more for her. He says, I want you to come to the source of these things. I just don't want to bring them to you and bedeck you and make you love it. I want you to come to the source of them. He's gone down to feed in the gardens and to gather lily. I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lily. Praise God. And so the whole story unfolds. And so she says in chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let's go forth into the field. Let's stop in here anymore. I've taken the hint, Lord. I'm inside, you've beautified me, you've grown me, you've reared me, and thank you. But you want me to get out here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's go out here. I'm still my beloved's. Why, he's made the comparison. If I set you among thorns, you're all right, my beloved. I love you. Glory. Wherever you go, you're going to be perfect to me. Amen. And I want you to come right out here. You're mine, altogether mine. Come, my beloved. Let's go forth into the field. Let's lodge in the villages. Amen. Let's go forth to the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Glory. Let's get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vines flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my love. He's given me his love. He's reared me, he's made me wonderful, but he wants to give me loves, a lot more. I want you to know my love amongst the thorns. I want you to know my love in the gardens. I want you to know my love lodging in the villages. I want you to know my love working there in the vineyard. That's what I want to know. I've got a lot more love I can give you yet. Praise God. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Praise God. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits. Eh? You wouldn't have known that if you hadn't gone lodged in the villages. Lot more fruit out there. Praise God. Go out into the field. Live out in the villages. That's right. He'll give you his loves there. He'll love to do this for you. Love to do that for you. Love to do the other thing for you. You'll get up in the morning. Go down into the vineyard, find the mandrakes, praise the name of the Lord. I'll give you a study, you people. Well, go on, make a note of it, get your pencils out, write it down. You needn't, only write down one word, mandrakes, trace it through the Bible and what's associated with it. And be prepared for the Spirit to teach you a lot. Amen. And he... all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I've laid up for thee. Oh, my beloved, glory be to the name of the Lord. All right, I have but briefly touched on this tremendous truth. God has loved us. The Lord has loved us beside himself. He's loved us. He's loved us with his own love and then allowed himself to be used of the Father, that you could be loved with Father's love. See? Ah, my father's doing all this, he says. Praise the name of the Lord that you could tell father's love. And, oh, it's all so tremendous. And then, of course, there's the love of the Holy Ghost. All shed abroad in our heart. Beloved, we've got a great adventure ahead of us as we go on with Jesus. An adventure of love. Oh, to discover the Lord as he wants us to know him. There are some things yet he cannot give to you. There are some reaches of his love, although he's bestowed all his love upon you. But there's some discoveries in his love. It's so vast. It is God. Love, and there are some great things as yet he cannot show thee until thou art prepared to go out there with him. Hallelujah. I know, you've only got to move and there's myrrh dripping off your fingers. You're wonderful. It's marvelous what the Lord's done for you. But that's all inside. It's all inside the house. See. And out there where everything's ugly and falling and it's hard work and it's not lying on your couch with your coat off, though you're beautiful like that, where you have to get up early in the morning. Somebody said to me only yesterday, if some of these young men was to cultivate the habit of getting up early in the morning, they'd be twice the men they are. Somebody said that to me. Yes, yes, that's right, brother. I won't tell you who it was that said it. Tremendous. Get up early in the morning. Go out there. See whether they give a pleasant smell. If you want to get the smell of grapes, get up in the morning into the vineyards. You think the taste is nice, but oh. Hallelujah. Get up in the morning when the dew's on. He said, my hair's full of dew. Praise the name of the Lord. You've got to get up early in the morning. Out there, eager with the Lord. Moving out with his love fixed in your heart. Oh, you're my beloved. You're my beloved. It's because you're after him. And him alone. And not after your own beauty, not after your own holiness. Leave him to tell you all about that. If he says, I think you're wonderful, well, that's a sort of a little love whisper between you and him. Leave all that. If he thinks you're marvelous, well, that's it. Praise the name of the Lord. But you keep hard after your beloved. Lord, no wonder that this precious woman, when she starts off in the first chapter, this is how she starts. She says, verse 3, because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. That, I believe, is an erroneous verse break. You sometimes hear me complain about this, that the Holy Ghost didn't inspire chapters and verses and dots and commas and dashes. He put it all out in unctuals. Here it comes. In the end, let's start at verse 2, shall we? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine because of the savour of thy good ointments. Stop. Capital T. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. We'll run after thee. You see. Just you draw me, Lord. That's all I want. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. You know, you and I have got to be able to smell Jesus. Smell it. Glory be to him. You know when you're in this wonderful, clean, clear, gorgeous atmosphere, of glorious Jesus. You've got to know it. You need to, because out in the villages it stinks. I'm not saying it doesn't in the cities, but out in the villages it's terrible. You've got to be able to live in total love with Jesus right out there, where the thorns are. See? You've got to be able to walk through the valleys and find that he's the lily. You've got to be able to walk through Sharon and find that he's the rose. That's what you've got to be able to do. You've got to get out there abroad on the earth. We've got to live unto him. Amen. Therefore, beloved, is the value of this Song of Solomon so gorgeous to us. It must be so tremendous, because she says, I'm black, but I'm comely. And you know that the Lord said in Ezekiel 16, speaking to his ancient people, he said, I made you comely with my comeliness. When I found you, there was nothing nice about you at all. Just that I loved you. Why have you done this, Lord? I love you. So far as the Lord's concerned, that's the beginning and ending of everything. And all there is in between. I love you. And you know what old Paul says at the end, and I don't know what he hadn't been through. Talk about villages, cities. He'd been let down over a city wall in a basket. He'd been flogged. He'd been left for dead. He visited villages and towns, and he lodged with the Lord in all the villages. And he finishes up, I know he hasn't yet finished his life, but he finishes up a gorgeous chapter in Romans saying, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Are you persuaded? Now, only the events of life can persuade you. God uses thorns and difficulties and hardships and stinking villages and rotten setups to persuade you that nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Not separate you from God, but separate you from his love. Nothing will separate you from God. But you've got to see, despite all the maligning and the rottenness of men and devils, he loves you. Really loves you. And everything is an event of love. You've got to see that. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You know that our dear brother Bob and sister Nora had a smash on Monday night. If you didn't know that, you know now. And they smashed up a lovely new car. But that was God's love to them. That was God's love to them, sure, isn't it? Hallelujah. He let a new car come and drive it and get smashed up, just to show that he loved them. They'd have been in that old tin Ford, they'd have both been dead. That's right. They'd both been dead, they'd have been in that rotten old Corsair out there. God doesn't mind smashing up a car just to show that nothing would separate you from his love. He didn't mind smashing his son to prove it to you. God, you see, it's in all these things. And you've got to get persuaded, not come on grumbling and say, now why did that happen? I can't do it. You've got to be persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's in Christ Jesus. A few £100 on that. What's that? When one drop of blood of God's Son couldn't be bought for all the gold in the world. Don't you see? You see that? Draw me, Lord. Draw me. Persuade me. Persuade me. I'm persuaded, he said. Glory be to God. He wasn't bringing out a theory. He wasn't preaching a sermon. He was putting his life down on paper. I'm persuaded. All right, beloved. His love out in the village is better than his love in a shop, in a house behind a window. I tell you that. Yeah. I'll ask you where he died to show his love. Did he die in a room behind a nice glass window? Or did he die outside a wall? Talk about the lily among thorns, his head was crowned with them. Hallelujah. To know what God does. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for starting us off with this vision. Thank you for giving us a first step. Thank you for showing us the truth. Hallelujah. You see, she goes through many stages. Lunch is at 1 o'clock, so we're all right for a little while. we're off the covenant theme for a moment, but we're really on the covenant. We're really on the covenant. The love of God. You see, in the end of chapter 4, he wants her to get up, you see? Verse 6, you see, she will be so fair until the day break and the shadows flee away. I'll get me to the mountains of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. But he says, now come with me. Come from Lebanon. He says, come on, come with me. Hallelujah. Don't stay there dreaming your dreams and wait till the day breaks and all that. It's all so marvellous to get enwrapped up in these rhapsodic themes of gorgeous, shut-away love. You see, let's go with this now. Come on. Come with me. Come here. My heart's quite ravished with you in verse 9, he says. It's all right. Just keep coming. And he goes on and on and on and on and on, and then he says, you see, verse 12, you're like a garden, my sister, that's shut up. That's your trouble. a spring, shut up, a fountain that's sealed. All the potential of a spring and of a fountain. But it's just all shut up. And he goes right on. And then it breaks into the fifth chapter, you see, where we were looking. Amen. Unto the Lord, wonderful. Unto the Lord, wonderful. I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to take you right out there. He wants the wall to be smashed down. He wants to take you right out there. And he wants to show you the world. That's what he wants to do. He wants to say, look, she's marvellous, isn't she? See? Look, he's wonderful. That's what he wants. You out there with him. Working. Moving through all the fields of all the countries. Everything will speak to you of his love. Everything will be a proof of his faithfulness. And everything, beloved, will be toward a breaking down of your last reserve. So that as on Calvary, nothing was held back, nothing reserved, nothing preserved, nothing. All poured out. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's pray, John.